As I was preparing this message, I came across this little article on a news blog, and it says this: the Speaker of the State of Maine, Speaker of the House, Sarah Gideon, said this about removing one of her fellow Democrats from all their committees. She said this: while our system of government demands vigorous debate, too often today our political discourse on both sides of the aisle strays into personal attacks and vulgar language, whether on social media, in the press, or in the hallways of the State House. As a result of his actions, I let Representative Hammond know last night that I would be removing him from his service on all committees. I hope this consequence sends a clear signal to all members of the House of Representatives that they are expected to conduct themselves with respect at all times and in all media. Wow. When I, rudeness is one of those things that I think we all know when we see it or when we experience it, yet probably most of us don't think we're rude at all. And it's one of those things that even when I was studying this, I thought, well, this seems to be kind of a small deal, God. And then the Holy Spirit just convicted me. He said, then why is it in my word? So I thought, okay, this will be interesting because, you know, I'm thinking, okay, and love is not rude. So should I package that with something else? And I really felt led by the Holy Spirit. No, this is separate. It was a hard message to put together. But as I studied what the word meant, it's like my eyes opened up. Because, you know, when I say or when we read this, love is not rude, we have a certain picture in our mind. But what is the biblical perspective of rudeness? When we look, we realize that love is not rude. Now, if you go and you look, that's the English Standard version of the original Greek. If you go look at different versions, New King James, New American Standard, Holman Bible, et cetera, here's some of the things that the word rude is written as. Love does not act unbecomingly. One of the things I found here is that they use these really cool old school words. Unbecomingly. When was the last time you said, boy, that was very unbecomingly how you handled that. Improperly. Unseemly. That's another one of those old school words. Disgracefully. Here's one. Boorish. Love is not boorish. Love does not behave badly. In other words, love is not unlovely. Love is not unlovely. If you go to the original Greek and you try to look at the definition for what in the English Standard Version is listed as rude, it says this: is not, so love is not shapeless, misshapen, ugly, shameful, or base. See, now all of a sudden this word rude opens up and you go, whoa, that's a lot more than what I was thinking. The Greek also indicates that this is conduct not in harmony with the established norm of decency. So it's some kind of a conduct or words or whatever that doesn't line up with what we would consider normal decency, at least with regards to what's happening at that time in society. In other words, rudeness is an act in defiance of social and moral standards that may result in disgrace, embarrassment, or shame to another. That's rudeness. We can be rude with our spoken words in today's society in particular, in our written words on social media, or with our actions. Take a look, God's word, just a couple of things to think about. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. That was pretty specific there. Matthew chapter 12, 36. This is a powerful verse. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Yikes. Yikes. So what is rudeness? What does it encompass when we look at it? You know, there's the obvious things. Under this listing of rudeness would be disrespect. You know, talking inappropriately to someone in authority over you. We know the Word of God talks about children honor your parents, so there's a sense that it's there. Those people in authority to disrespect them, to not give them the respect. Maybe you can't respect a person, but you still have to respect the position. So disrespect would be considered rudeness. Another thing, poor manners would be considered rudeness. That's something we don't like to hear today. We don't want to talk about manners, but poor manners would be considered rudeness. Lack of common courtesy is rudeness. Here's one that we do, and we say, well, that's not rude. You ignore someone who is trying to talk to you. That's rude. That's rudeness. And it's just common courtesy that when somebody says, hey, hi, or you're talking to them or whatever, you don't ignore people. I mean, some people, I have to be honest, you have a little too thin a skin, and, you know, you think somebody sees you and they don't, and then you're upset because they didn't say hi. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when you know someone has, you're talking to someone or and you just totally turn around and blow them off. That's rude. You say, well, of course, Stan. Well, as we continue building on this, we realize that there are a lot of things that maybe we accept as rude and some things we don't want to accept as rude, maybe because we struggle in those areas. Profane, indecent, or coarse language. It talks in here about joking, but this is just coarse language, something that is not bringing honor to God. You have to be careful with that. It's easy to drift over in that. And this also includes profane, indecent, and coarse gestures. Okay? Today's society, somebody cuts you off, what do? Yep. One finger salute. Rude. Rude. Okay? How about this gesture? When you're waiting in line, right? Rude. See, we just think it's the bird. It's not. Coarse, indecent, disrespectful gestures. How about this one? Somebody's talking to you, and I don't know if I can do it. You roll your eyes. Or the sigh. It's rude. It's rude. What does it fall? Because it's ugly. It communicates certain things. We'll talk about that. How about directly or indirectly putting others down? You know, when we use double meanings to words, we put them down by saying something, and then we quickly move on. Many times what we'll do is we'll call it humor. You say, well, are you telling me I can't joke? No, I'm saying you can joke. But there's appropriate joking and there's inappropriate joking. There's joking that moves towards sin and there's joking that is okay. So you mean I can only get the Christian book on clean jokes? Well, I think you have to be careful what you do joke about. But God is a fun God. You got to remember, God is the one who created this whole world. He's creative. He's wonderful. He is joyful. And so God wants that in our lives. But what happens is we have embraced what the world says is okay, and we've become numb to it. It's like a boxer. They say that a boxer can't feel the punches after the second or third round because he's been beaten, and now it's numbed him. And I think we have been conditioned in society by joking and rudeness that it happens so much that we've become numb to it and we have embraced it, we have walked in it, and it may not honor God. So we look at that and we think, okay, those are pretty obvious ways that people are rude, and you can probably think of some of your own ways, but here are some of the not so obvious ways that we're rude. If you inappropriately use your freedom in Christ, what are we talking about there? It's when, let's pop up the next verse, next section of verses. In Corinthians, but take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. They were talking here about eating meat offered to idols. Remember that? And to some people, they didn't have a problem with that. And other people, they did. And some people were saying, this day is more holy than the other day. Some people didn't feel that way. So some people had certain freedoms in Christ. It wasn't sin, but others, as it says in the Word of God, the weaker brother may consider that sin. So those of you who have that freedom need to exercise that freedom carefully, especially when you're with those brothers or sisters that are struggling, that are weaker brothers or sisters. And it goes on, take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? In other words, he thinks this weaker brother thinks this is sin. Okay, that's where he has a conviction about that. Drinking alcohol might be one of those things today. Okay, so some people will say, I believe that this is sin and it's wrong. And other people say, I have a freedom to have a beer every now and then. Let's use that as an example. And not getting drunk, but having a beer. And so the brother or sister who says, no, that's completely wrong, you can't do that, they don't have that freedom. And the person who has the freedom to have maybe a glass of wine or a beer, they have that freedom. And he's saying, now be careful, those of you that have that freedom that are okay with that, that your weaker brother, you're not exercising this in front of them in such a way that they would say, you know what, I'm going to go have a glass of wine with them too, even though they feel it's sin, at least from their perspective. See what I'm saying? And so he's saying, don't let your freedom cause a weaker brother to fall, to stumble. Okay? And it goes on. And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. So sometimes a way that we can be rude is we have a certain freedom that we have in Christ, and we may know that a brother or sister does not have that same freedom. It could be playing cards. It was an old school one. Some people thought playing cards is sinful. You can't play cards. So what do? Well, they need to grow up in their faith, so I'm going to invite them over to play cards. No, that's rude. That's rude. Or if you know secular music, some people say you can only listen to Christian music. Well, that's it. No secular music. So if you happen to be working somewhere in your garage and you're listening to some secular music and they come, you say, well, it's my house. They got to adjust to me. That's being rude. You're not using your freedom. You're not considering your weaker brother and putting them ahead of your own self. And so that would be a way of, we would say, this is a way that you're being rude. You're taking your freedom and you're not being considerate of your brother or sister in Christ who may be not, as the scripture says, weaker in this area. Here's another way that sometimes we don't, not quite as obvious. We like to cleverly one-up someone. You know what I mean? We like to say something that, you know, well, I did. You know, somebody's talking about something. Yeah, I went on an adventure up north, and I climbed a hill that was like, you know, 20% grade. And right, well, I remember that. I climbed a hill that was 30% grade. You know, it's just like this. I had this one guy, Lisa and I. He was riding in my back car, in the back seat of my car, and he would do this every time. It didn't matter what you were talking about. You could be talking, it just did not matter. And so she was sitting, this was before we were married, so she got a taste of who I was a little bit. And she's sitting in this side, and so I knew he was back there, and I said, well, yeah, I remember when I did this. And he went up to me, and I go, but I really did this. And he kept going up, and I kept going up and up and up, and it was supposed to be in fun. But you know what my intent was? To humiliate him. Was that godly? I think sometimes what happens is we want to say something. When I was in high school, I was a very skinny guy. Couldn't beat anybody up, okay? But I had a really quick mind and a sharp tongue. And I remember what I wanted to do is I wanted to say something to some guy, put them down, that they wouldn't realize I put them down until about 20 minutes later. And they go, what? What did he mean by that? Well, he just... And I thought that was funny. You know what that was? That was rude. That was rude. You know, we try to one-up somebody. We try to out-clever them, say something that'll make us feel good and kind of put them down. Rude. Rude. Doesn't work that way. Here's another one. Are you one of those people that when you're in a conversation, you just talk and talk and talk and talk? Or maybe you know someone like this, and you're just waiting for them to stop and take a breath so you can jump in. You know what I mean? It's like, and you go, they got to sue. And first of all, if you're listening, it's rude because you're waiting for them to take a break before you can jump in, you know, but you're not listening to them, okay? But part of being rude is do you just keep going on and on and on and on and on and on, and nobody can get in a word edgewise, as they used to say. That's rudeness. Partly because what's happening, you are more concerned about being heard or being right than really listening to other people. And here's another thing that we agree with, that in society we would say, yeah, that's rude as well, is, you know, people that interrupt you, you're halfway through a sentence and they just cut you off. And again, you say, is that rude? Yeah, why? Because you're not listening to the person that's talking to you. You're already figuring out what your argument is going to be, so you're really not listening to them. And either if they're the long talker, you're waiting for them to take a breath, so you're going to jump in, and so they're kind of rude towards you, but you're really not listening to them. And if you're one of those people that constantly cutting someone else off, that's rude. That's rude. Now, we maybe would struggle with that, say, well, how could that be rude? Well, do you think the average person wants to be cut off when they're talking about things? Is that not a break in what we would call normal decency in society? You listen to someone when they have something to say, and you let them speak their mind, and then you step in. So when we're cutting people off and we're shutting them down in mid-sentence, that's considered rude. We interrupt the conversation. You know, somebody's talking, and we just kind of bust in there. You know, there's a couple people talking. You just walk in, and you don't say, excuse me, I really need to, can I just say something real quick? Because I've got to, you just bust in and say, oh, by the way, in a conversation with someone. And you just kind of cut in there because you've got to say it first. You got to get in there because your schedule needs to be met. You see how these things are rude? And you can probably think of things that I haven't even thought of. You look at what God's word says, especially in those last couple. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In Proverbs, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. That's one of my verses, life verses. If you know me, I'm a talker, and I'm trying to say, God, I just need to shut my mouth. I need to be quiet. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. That's what the Word of God says. I would say this. The longer that I live, brothers and sisters, the more I realize how much I don't know. It's amazing how much of an expert I was when I was younger. Foolish man. Foolish man. There's a country song that says, back when I knew it all. All you country fans. And it basically says, you know, I'm learning so much more than back when I knew it all. You know, there's a sense that in many words comes sin. And to learn, you know, I've learned a lot about parenting and marriage. But I've also learned that it doesn't work for everyone what God used to work in my marriage and my family, and I don't claim to be an expert anymore because I just see, you know what? I thought I knew it all. We need to strive as brothers and sisters in Christ to press into the desire to have those experiences rather than influence. So again, many words can bring sin. Some of us, and this is another way that we can be rude, we delight in being blunt. You know? This one man said, "Hey, pastor, my spiritual gift is being brutally honest." And the pastor looked at him and said, "That would be a good gift to bury. That's a good gift to bury." He said, "Are you telling us we shouldn't be honest?" "No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. But you can't practice one virtue at the expense of another." Okay, and one of the things that we learn is that love does not verbalize all its thoughts immediately, particularly if they do not build up the other person. So you see the conflict? Now, if I were to say, "Okay, do you think you're rude in certain areas?" I think a lot of times we're rude and we don't realize it. But most of the time we do. We realize after. I remember just this week, I'm standing in line. You know, I'm prepping to preach this message on rudeness, right? And so I go, I have to get some medication, and I'm standing in line. And I'm thinking, you know, that's why, you know, when I gave you the example, standing like this or going like this, right? And then you look at the person behind the counter. Right? We've all done it. Raise your hand if you haven't. No, don't do that. The young guys, the kids back here, "I didn't do that, Pastor Dan. Never." But that's rude. That's rude. It's, you know, or as I said, the sighing that happens, or the, "Well, it's about time." You know, one of the things that I realize is that the Lord is not only interested in our character, making us like Christ, but He is also interested in the way we express that character outwardly. And here's the reason why, I believe. Because it really truly reveals our heart. It really does. When you look at these things, as we were talking about these virtues that love is, we said right from the beginning they're all intertwined. And one of the things that we see here is that when we are rude to people, it's really an issue, a heart issue of pride. I need to have my way. I need to get it done now. And you got in my way and ruined my schedule. We're not putting others ahead of ourselves. We're selfish. So being rude has a deeper root issue than what's coming out. So that's one of the reasons why God wants to develop our character, but also outwardly what that character looks like, because it reveals what our heart is. But here's something else. It reflects on the gospel. One of my children was a checkout person at a certain place, and he knew that somebody who was coming through the line was a believer. And when they came home from work, they said to us, "I've never met a more rude person than that person." And that reflected on the gospel, because that's what Christians are like. So Christians are rude? We got our bumper sticker on the back of our car, "I love Jesus," and we're cutting people off and flipping them off? That's what Christians are like? What does a Christian being rude say about Jesus? What does it say about the gospel? What does it say about our satisfaction in Jesus? You see how this little word that I thought was no big deal, "Oh my goodness, Lord, I had no idea how this was heavy, how all these things that were going on. And when we go back to the definition of rudeness in the Greek, love is not rude, then we would say that the gospel and Jesus are not shapeless. They are not misshapen. They are not ugly. They are not shameful. They are not base. They're not. Because Jesus, the gospel of the Lord God, is beautiful. It's sweet. It's pure. And the reason being is because love is not unlovely. Jesus was never rude. He was never rude. Well, how can you say that? You don't know, Dan. He was pretty aggressive at times. You know, when you look in the scripture and he goes, "Hey, you brood of vipers." Well, that was rude, Dan. He was telling the truth. It was communicated in a way that was not rude, but brought the point across. And I say I know he wasn't rude because love is not rude, and Jesus is the perfect picture of love in every way. So if God says in his word, love is not rude, and Jesus is God and perfectly displayed the gospel, then he was not rude ever. He was never rude. And I can't imagine some of the stuff that as he's standing there and people are saying goofy things to him and totally inaccurate things, how patient he must have been with them. And to hear them out and then to respond in a way that would honor him, that would not be rude. And that's what we see, this picture of Jesus. How would he respond? You know, years and years ago, WWJD, remember that, all you old school Christians? WWJD, we had wristbands, everything else. We all wore it on it. And we stood in line and said, WWJD, that looks like Jesus to me. Right? I know. WWJD, though, is very real. What would Jesus do? How would he respond? How would he respond? And you know what? When you are and I are rude, when those things happen, how does God respond to us? How does he respond to our rudeness? There you go again, Dan. You know what's incredible about our Lord and Savior? As we're going through this and we're seeing what love is, what love is not, and we see how far short we fall in every area. We come back to this beautiful Savior that we have who doesn't reject us. We see how far short we fall of the example that he has set. And he doesn't reject us. He loves us unconditionally. Loves us. Gives us the example. And then empowers us by his grace and his mercy to be different. We don't have to walk in rudeness. Coarse joking, whatever we struggle with, because we have this God who is kind and merciful to us, even in the midst of our sin. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. And the fact that he died for our sins. You know, somebody once was struggling and saying, you know, I just really struggle in this area of sin, and maybe rudeness is one of your areas of sin. You know, Jesus paid the penalty on the cross for all of that, for all of our sin. He died, and he paid for the past, present, and future sins. They're all under the blood. So if you're struggling in these areas and you're going, wow, am I even a believer? Because sometimes I feel like that as I'm reading through 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. The answer is yes, because it is not by my works. It is not by my works. It is by the grace of God. Jesus came and lived that perfect life. The times that I am rude, the times that I am impatient and unkind, etc., etc., and rebellious, fill it in the blank. Jesus went to the cross and died, and the penalty that I deserved was paid by Christ. So now his righteousness is imputed to me, and God sees me, says, you know what? I love you unconditionally, not because of what I've done or what I've failed to do, but because of the cross and Christ and God's grace and God's mercy. So if this is heavy on you, know that if you're a believer today, you're under the blood. And this is an area that you can grow in to be more like Jesus. It's an area I think we don't take seriously enough in our lives. I know I don't. And this truth that when God responds to us in our sin, in our rudeness, should move us to be considerate and kind, not rude to others, especially those unlovable people that get us angry. Why? Because that's what the context was in 1 Corinthians 13. A really messed up church. That was arguing and fighting, and they were rude to each other. You know, they weren't waiting to eat. Another one, you want to talk about basic table manners, right? Oh, we're using the M word. I'm just going to be honest, I'm an old school guy, I'm 58. And, you know, we teach manners and things, and we don't seem to do that anymore. And, you know, you wait for people to come. And they weren't waiting for each other to eat to celebrate the Lord's table. And they weren't waiting for each other. Well, it was just being rude. And then this particular word goes back to another verse, and I think 7:36. So you look at it and you go, you know what? Just simple things like that. But these people did not like it. There was a lot of conflict in that church. And so Paul is coming in and saying, here's a way to love each other, practical ways to love each other, because you're struggling in that. So, take a look at God's word, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Wow. As fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's the goal. Not to show everybody how smart you are, or the great accomplishments you had, or whatever, but rather, I am speaking so that they may grow. They may grow in grace. They may be encouraged. We're so worried about us looking good. But the goal is for them to be encouraged, to be lifted up. Titus 3:1-2. Be ready for every good work. To speak evil of no one. To avoid quarreling. To be gentle. And to show perfect courtesy. This was interesting because I went and as I normally study in the English Standard Version, I just went to the other different Bible translations. What did they use for that word courtesy instead of courtesy? And here's what they used. Showing every consideration. Showing every gentleness. Showing humility. Interesting words to be used there. So it says, to show perfect courtesy towards all people. And then in James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I think they're all tied together. I think sometimes, in our homes in particular, we just need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. I know that's where I've failed many times. Just be slower to speak, Dan. Quick to listen. Sometimes, like Lisa would always say, sometimes we just got to say, you know what, you just got to start being nice to each other. Stop arguing and fights. Just start being nice to each other. And finally, in Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious. Always be gracious. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So what are we talking about? If love is not rude, then what is love? In the flip side, in our picture, our example is Christ, who he was. And it's really hard because you go through all the Gospels and you go, well, how was Jesus not rude here? That was just really, I struggle with that. But, okay, how do we be not rude? What does that look like? It means that we behave and speak with reverence. Be respectful. Speak with kindness. Just like I said, just be nice to each other. Just be nice. Have goodwill towards all men. In other words, put people ahead of yourself. Instead of you worrying about you looking good or impressing everyone, put others before you. It means good manners. It's amazing to me the impact of just saying yes, sir, and no, ma'am to someone has. I know it's something simple, but it amazes me. And it's funny because if I say that to a young girl, say, I am not ma'am. And so I got to be careful because sometimes that can offend someone. I guess they think that means it's an old school word. And you think, are you saying I'm old? No, I'm just trying to be polite. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Opening doors for ladies other than maybe your wife or your own daughters. Just be kind. General manners. Hey, this is how I'm like, okay, I'll tell you, truth, right here. Pull up to the DMV, right? Everybody knows what those DMV lines are like. And I'm pulling up, and I see this old guy walking in real slow. And I'm like, I got to beat him to the door. Right? Got to beat him to the door, because he's going to get in line before me. And what have I assumed then? First of all, that this guy can't communicate very clearly. He's going to be as slow in his thinking as he is in his walking. And I'm just being honest here, okay? So I got to run to get to the door before he does so I can get in there before he does. Because I'm not going to stand in line behind this guy. So what do? I'll tell you what I did. I got in the door before he did. I kind of quick grabbed the door and kind of got in there before him. I'm just talking to you about my failures. And the Lord convicted me of that later, you know, conveniently for me, right? But again, you know, hey, open a door for the guy. It means I got to be one place farther behind. Okay. Like one guy said, for Christians who know you have all eternity, you sure get worried about a couple seconds. Good point. Didn't think about it that way. Good manners, courteous, be polite, be sensitive to other people's feelings. How's that going to make them feel when I say that? Well, they can take it. They got thick skin. Really? Sometimes I'm surprised at how hurt people get. I thought, man, I had no idea that hurt them. And so just to be kind. You know, you will never, ever regret being kind. You won't. You'll have times where you'll slow down and you'll have to stand in line a little longer. And you won't throw off this look at someone. But you'll never regret being kind to someone, being patient. And not being rude includes appropriately restraining your freedoms in Christ when you need to because of a brother or sister. You know, I love you and I'm going to put your needs ahead of my own. Love always says and does the proper thing at the proper time in a loving way. It really does. So here's a challenge. Ask your spouse and your family and the people you work with, say, would you please let me know when I'm rude? Yikes. Ooh. And here's the thing. I told Lisa this. I said, babe, should I challenge people? Say, hey, go home and ask your spouse and your children, am I rude? And she said, boy, you better make sure that they tell their kids, this is a freebie. I'm not going to get mad at you and ground you or grouse around the rest of the day if you tell me the truth. And I said, well, so I decided not to ask you to do that, but rather to just tell people, listen, if I'm rude, would you let me know? Because I think sometimes we don't realize it. And if you're the one that person has been rude to, you say, well, how do I respond, Dan? What do I say? You say, hey, you know what? Just so you know, when you did that like that just now, that really, from my perspective, was kind of rude because I felt disrespected. You're not saying that was your intent or anything. Many times people say, I had no idea. I didn't know you looked at it that way. So we'll strive for this by God's grace and mercy. the purpose for speaking and communicating or doing anything to anyone at any time is to extend grace. I want to be a blessing to others. What does it talk about when we go all the way back to Genesis and God said he's calling a people apart from himself or from the world to himself? And what was the purpose? That you would be a blessing to the nations. And this is a small way that we can be a blessing to people around us by not being rude and thus displaying the beauty of the gospel. You people are so patient and so kind. Wow. I'm just amazed. You're considerate of each other and there's manners. I love this. This is just so old school and wonderful. Well, it's not old school. It's just biblical. And so what we do is we extend these things to others because we want to extend grace. Love is not rude. Love is not unlovely. It's not unlovely. Ask the Holy Spirit to produce authentic humility in your hearts. Because really, that's what it takes. Remember I said earlier that what happens is rudeness, it does two things. First of all, it kind of shows your heart condition, but also it reflects on the gospel. Well, the heart condition is we're prideful many times when we're rude. And so if we ask God, God, would you work a humble heart in me? I don't care if people get ahead of me. I don't care if people, if I don't come out looking like the hero in this conversation. I just want to be humble, Lord. I want to honor you. I want to know when to hold my tongue and when not to say anything and not be in a competition with everybody to prove how cool and great and how much whatever I have. Instead, to just have this humble heart. God, would you work that in me? This humility. And that I could put my hope in you. So work this so that I could, by your grace, God, put others before myself. That's what I desire, God. I want to put others before myself and have this humble heart that is not just here, but it is displayed for your glory in this beautiful person that can stand in line patiently and smile at the person that says, I'm so sorry it took so long to get to you. You know what? It's just a busy day for you. That's okay. They need to hear that. Or praise God, that's okay. Don't worry about it. If God would do that work in your heart, as you pursue it in the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, and in your heart through prayer, then this will enable us to put God's honor ahead of our own. We want to honor God ahead of ourselves. And then what will happen is we will be able to speak and write. Social media, if I looked at your social media, what would I find? Speak and write or act graciously rather than rudely, disrespectfully, or indecently. And this is possible because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of sin over us. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. He broke the power of sin in our lives so we can do what God calls us to do. Because of what Christ did on the cross. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. So let's walk by God's grace and mercy. That he would make us more like Christ. And that this whole chapter, but these particular verses, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, would become real in our lives. Amen? And in particular, this area right here. Let's pray. Lord,